The word of God this morning is powerful, amen. And I want to look at a section of scripture out of the book of Titus. And it says, as Paul, amen, verse 1 of Titus, the first chapter. Titus is not a big book. It's only got three chapters in it, right after 2 Timothy. Chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth, which is after godliness. Verse 2 says, in hope of eternal life, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised us, amen, before the world began. Amen. We have this promise today that God has promised to all his children that serve him, that depart from sin and depart from wickedness, depart from evil, allow the blood of Jesus to cleanse them and to come and wash their sins away. Amen. According to the word of God, God has promised eternal life unto them. Now, I run into some people sometimes that are caught up in a spirit called self-righteousness. And the Bible says all a man's righteousness is as filthy rags. Amen? In other words, there's not a thing within us that can earn or merit salvation. Matter of fact, we need to become humble and broken of a contrite spirit before the Lord. Become yielded to God. Amen? I hear so many people boast in their righteousness. Amen? I do this, I do that. All these things are vain, amen? Because first of all, we must yield our spirit unto God and become humble before God, amen? And we must allow God to purge us, amen? And it is by his grace that we are saved, amen? Not by good works, but unto good works, amen? So many folks, amen, get on one tangent of something and forget about the rest of the Word of God. Amen. They get on one little binge and that's the only thing, amen, that they dwell on. Amen. But the Bible tells me we are to declare a full counsel. Amen. To declare a full counsel before, amen, God's people. Amen. And when we declare a full counsel and we take on a full counsel of God's Word and a full understanding of God's Word, then we realize that all of the goodness that we try to possess will not measure up to that wherein, amen, that we can buy or purchase salvation. Matter of fact, the Bible said if we gain the whole world, well, the kingdom, we had it all. Amen. We had all the gold, all the silver. We had all the gold in Fort Knox, and I don't know whether they were there or not, but they used to be. Amen. Due to inflation, I wonder sometimes. But anyway, if we had all the wealth of all the world, amen, and it was ours, and we went up before God and said, okay, God, I'm going to give you this much gold if you'll let me into your heaven. The Bible said if a man so gained the whole world, then what would he give in exchange for his soul? Now, you don't have to be very smart to figure out what that means. Amen. That's King James Version, and I'm a little old-fashioned. I still minister by the King James Version because that's what I learned to start with, and God gave me ability to quote a great portion of it. Amen. And, you know, I know the Holy Ghost. I know the Holy Ghost, amen. He can rightly divide it, but you know, I'm going to tell you something that may shock some people. Amen. I know the Holy Ghost can rightly divide it, and if you can't quote nothing but some other translation, I guess maybe the Lord, you know, I'm sure he has an ability to bring it to your remembrance, amen? But see, I started out, amen, back in 1959 when I got saved, I started out reading the King James Version, amen? And when I hear the Holy Ghost give me a scripture, do you know what? He gives it to me in. He gives it to me in the King James Version. Amen. Now you can just leave that where it's at. Amen. Amen. You know, I'm not accusing. using God, amen, a bit only, amen. Some people say, well, if it ain't the King James Version, then God, amen, ain't in it. I'm going to leave that alone, amen. Because, amen, I heard another fellow come up and say, well, you know, I got the original Bible that God gave his people. I said, what's that? He said, I got the King James Version of the Bible. I said, well, in other words, God didn't give the word to 1611 men. Amen. He said, no, what do you mean? I got the original here. It's the one God gave his children. Amen. And the poor fellow, God love him. Amen. And I've said this, the ignorance of preachers is turning more things off in this world than anything else. Amen. Amen. And God help me for wherein I'm ignorant. I'm asking God to help me. Amen. Amen. But the ignorance of preachers has turned more folks off about God and religion than anything else. Amen. But he said, well, you know, the Lord give this to his children, his disciples, and this is the original word. And I said, in other words, they could read English. Well, he said, what do you mean they could read English? This is it. The King James Version, this is the one God directly gave to man. I said, I beg your pardon. Amen. I said, I believe the original was in Greek and Hebrew. Amen. Amen. I believe the original translation, amen. The reason King James had to translate it and bring it forth into English, amen. And there's been numerous translations of the King James. Amen. There's been numerous translations of it. Amen. But anyway, the King James Version was wherein, amen, it was translated into English, amen. If it hadn't been translated into English, in other words, you would have to go to school and learn, amen, the original, you know, Greek and Hebrew. You would have to learn that before you could even read the Word of God, amen. So if that's the case, amen, you know, a lot of folks would be in trouble, amen. But anyway, God help our ignorance, amen. That's all I can say. God help our ignorance. Help us overcome ignorant ideas and ignorant ways. But I'm not here today to preach and condemn people that only want to use the King James Version, because I fall in that same rut. That's the version I use. In my library, I've got about every translation there is. But when I go to the pulpit, when I sit down to read, I read the King James Version. Amen. Because, amen, it's the one I started with. It's the one the Holy Ghost speaks back to me when he brings something to my remembrance. He can't bring me some other translation to my remembrance because I've never read it. Now, if only thing you've ever read is another type translation, amen, if it's Scripture, amen, if it's Scripture, the Holy Ghost will bring you back what you have read, amen, that understand it, amen. But my friend, let me tell you something. If the Holy Ghost, what you're reading, if the Holy Ghost is not quickening back to you, you better check out what you're reading, amen, amen. But anyway, in the King James Version, sometimes people have a little problem of understanding, amen, what it's saying, amen. Well, you just have to stop and think about it, amen, and let the Lord lead you, amen. But he declared, amen, if, amen, you gain the whole world, then what would you give in exchange? In other words, saying it in plain old Carroll County talk, he's simply saying, if you had all the value in the wealth of the world, it will not value 1 foot inside of that city, amen, called heaven, amen. And we'll go there because the blood of Jesus, amen, on Calvary's brow, amen, was shed and dropped to the ground, and that blood will cleanse the vilest sinner, amen. Glory to God. And when you get a hold, amen, of the message, amen, of the saving grace of God, amen. But we've got church houses that is filled up with self-righteousness, amen. And they're not giving God the credit for their salvation, amen. And they boast. I've been in a mini church that most of their service was people getting up and not testifying, amen, but getting up and boasting how holy they are. Amen. I was in Richlands, Virginia several years preaching a meeting, amen, and the Holy Ghost of God come to me, amen. And that was a town, amen, that it was eat up with these type preachers, amen, that proved to everybody that they was tougher than everybody. They didn't do this and they didn't do that, amen. They on and on and on and on. And that's basically what most of the preaching was about, amen. But I was there right in the heart of that place, the big tent meeting, sitting right there in the midst of it, amen. People coming out to be a part of it and be in the meeting, amen. God spoke to me. He said, I'm looking for men that will preach how powerful I am. Amen. and not preach how tough they are. Amen. I can't get you saved this morning but telling you how tough I am. I can't get you blessed this morning but telling you how goody-goody I am. Amen. But for the contrary, amen, I'm kind of like some of the men of the Word of God. I was thinking this morning, amen. God will make you humble. I'm going to tell you something.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you why there's a lot of self-righteous in a lot of churches. It's because they don't let God in. Because when you let God in, He'll break you.
Yeah.
He'll humble you. Amen. Listen this for an example of what some of the men of God said. John the Baptist said in Matthew 3:11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than, he says, mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He said, I'm not worthy, amen, even to bear a shoe, doesn't last your shoes or anything. Then the centurion said to Jesus in Matthew 8:8, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word. This is a powerful message, amen. If we just use that for a text today, amen. But he said, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Then, amen, in Matthew 25:37, then shall the righteous, amen, answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we, amen, been out of hunger, amen, and fed thee, or thirsty, amen, and gave thee drink, amen. You know the message there. But you done it unto the least of these, you done it unto me, amen. That's benevolence, amen. That's what benevolence is about. Then Peter said these words in Luke, amen, 5:8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinner, amen. O Lord, amen. Then in John 13:8, Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part in me. Amen. Here, amen. This disciple couldn't imagine that Jesus would humble himself to wash his feet. That's an example, amen, and that's what foot washing is about, amen. It's an example of humbleness, humbling ourselves one to another. And then Paul, amen, in these words in 1 Corinthians 15:9, for I am the least of the apostles, amen, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Here he declared that he persecuted the church of God, and because that he persecuted the church of God, he was not worthy, amen, not worthy of anything, amen. Humbleness, broken in spirit, amen. And when you let the presence of God into your life, your church, your home, there'll be some humbleness there. Amen. There won't be great boastings of what you do or what you have done. Amen. But there will be acknowledgement of His mighty power in His mighty hand. Amen. And through that, we put our trust and confidence in the Lord. Amen. Through that, we acknowledge His righteousness, amen. And we acknowledge His ways, and we acknowledge what the Lord can do, amen. The Word of God, amen, the Word of God in Psalms chapter 20, amen, in verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, yes, but we will remember the name of our God. Amen. Yes. We will remember the name of our God.
Amen.
When we get to making great boastings on our own, when we get to make great strong speeches that just edify us, amen, and just declare of all of what we're trying to sell on ourselves, amen. Then we miss the issue, amen, of remembering the Lord, amen. Because when we remember the Lord, we remember how he went up Golgotha's hill. Remember how he took the spikes in his hand, his feet, and remember how that he took the sword, amen, and blood to gush to the ground. He was marred and beaten beyond human recognition. No comeness within him, no countenance with him, that any man would desire him, amen. But all of this, he was smitten, amen. He was beaten, he was bruised, amen. All of this he done on himself. When he could have called 10,000 angels, when he could have spoke, amen, and called for 10,000 angels, he hung his head and died instead. He died the cruel death that he had to die for you and I. Amen. He did not declare, amen. He did not declare, well, I'm the Son of God. Amen. You can't do this to me because I've done this. I've overcome the flesh. I've done this. I've done that. But in humbleness, amen, he took what was dealt to him. He asked that this bitter cup might pass from him. But he acknowledged and said, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Amen. He accepted that responsibility he had to do. And through that, he bought and purchased for you and I eternal life. And now we live and we have life because of it. Amen. So today, amen, if we can humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God, amen, and we can unbroken, amen, before God and acknowledge God and his mighty ways, amen, God, amen, can move in our life and God can use us, amen.
Yes, Lord.
But we have so many people that has made salvation a condition of do's and don'ts. And they've left out the power in the blood. Amen. Because when the power of God touches you, you'll be broken and humble. When the mighty hand of God touches you, amen, you will, amen, trust in the Lord. Amen. Joshua says, amen. If it seem evil, he told them, amen. And Joshua in the 24th chapter and the 15th verse, if it seem evil for you to serve the Lord, choose this day. He asked them to choose. Then he made that tremendous proclamation in the close of that 15th verse. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. When we go forth today to serve the Lord, we go forth today to acknowledge the Lord in our life. Amen. Yes, amen, we set ourselves aside. Without the sanctifying power of God, without the Spirit of God, amen. And we come apart from the world. We live in the world, but we're not partakers of the world. Amen. He told us to come ye out of the world and be a separate people. He didn't tell us to get over and put ourselves up on some pedestal and condemn all the rest of the world and say, because you ain't as holy as you, that as I am, or ain't as holy as we are. Amen. The Bible said, amen, you know, the Bible said by the word of God, amen, you know, he called a call, whosoever will, let him come, amen. Let God, amen, let God deal with people, amen. Yes, preach the truth, amen. But salvation today is a free gift of God. It's by grace. And if you humble yourself today, and you acknowledge that you're a sinner before God, amen, and you acknowledge, amen, that you need a salvation. You need salvation. You need a Savior. Amen. See, in self-righteousness, you can't come to God. Because in self-righteousness, you don't see the need of a Savior. You don't see the need of the blood to be shed. And you lose sight of the blood that was shed to cleanse the vile sinner. Amen. Oh, but listen, my friend. When we allow God to do that work in our life, we're not boastful, but we're humble and broken before God. And with tears in our eyes, amen, we go forth to share the love of Jesus Christ. Not some old attitude of looking down our nose. If they don't cut their hair the way we do, if they don't wear the same kind of garment we do, amen. I believe in holiness. Holiness is the standards for God's people. But it's got to be wholeness from the heart, not from the outside. Amen. If you've dolled up the outside and you're still full of all the old ways on the inside, your experience is in vain today. But if you allow the mighty hand of God to pass over you, amen, allow the sanctifying power of God, allow the Spirit of God to do the work in you, and you've accepted this man, Jesus Christ, and there's been a transformation take place in you, and you've been changed from the creature that you once was, and now you've got that new name called Redeemed.
Yeah.
Amen. You're singing a song that the angels cannot sing. I've been redeemed with the blood of the Lamb and changed. Yeah. Changed from the creature that I once was. Amen. My friend, he'll change your life. Amen. He'll change your life. I'm not standing here today, amen, condemning, amen, no man. But I'm saying, if you're caught up in rituals, amen. If you're caught up, amen, in self-righteousness, if you're caught up in a list of do's and don'ts, you need to come to the Lord today and let him purge within your heart and spirit by his Spirit. Let him do the work that needs to be done in your life and be a change vessel. Amen. I see two extremes when I look out in the county I live in. I see two major extremes. I see a crowd to the left that's saying I can live any way I want to and do anything I want to and God's obligated to save me. That's the extremist. But I see another crowd. Maybe they're too far to the right. They're saying, I've not cut my hair. I've not done this. I've not done that. I've made sure that I've done everything, every little detail. And here I am. Oh, I am so holy. God owes it to me. God is obligated. Amen. Heard a man preaching in a message yesterday. He said, you can force God. And I looked at the man and I knew he was in no position to force God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I looked at him and knew he had him at Calvary. Amen. Close enough to Calvary to force God anything. Amen.
Amen.
If you want to force God, amen, you live his word and he'll honor his word. Amen. You want to force God, amen, you become humble and broken, so humble. Before God, broken in spirit and of a contrite spirit, amen. You come before God, and God will honor his word. But with your great swelling speeches and your great testimonies of self-righteousness, you won't force God to do anything, amen. Because he said all that was a stench in his nostrils, amen. But my friend today, if you can come broken and humble before God, he'll save you today. Call upon him. Ask him to save you. If you're a backslider, ask him to bring you back home today. Amen.